That was intense, wasn't it? Hey, I'm so glad you guys are all here. I wanted to just thank you for attending in the summer when I know there's a lot of other things that you could be doing. I think it's important that we gather together and experience God together, so thanks for being here. We are seeing good attendance at this service, and so some of you, those of you who come for the 10:30 start time, if you would actually come in and sit closer toward the center or towards the front, and those of you that come for the 10:45 start time, then you'll be able to have a place to sit when you get here, and everybody will be happy, right? Some of you are wondering what in the world we're doing with this series title. You're pretty sure you misread it. Does it really say how to ruin your life? Because I think most of us feel like, I don't need your help with that. I probably could do that by myself. Some of you think, maybe I should be preaching this, you know, sermon series instead of Adam, because I know I've got this part down. I can ruin my life all by myself. So the idea is we're going to be studying the wisdom of Proverbs over the course of the summer. So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be looking at Proverbs. And Proverbs is just kind of a presentation of how the world works. This is how life works. This is how things function in our universe. And you can either have a good life full of peace and joy and purpose, or you can ruin your life through foolishness. It's kind of up to you. That's how Proverbs works. Because most of us, I think, we understand those moments that we get in when we wish we had thought this through a little more. Have you had those moments? I found some pictures of people who are in that moment. I wish I had thought this through a little farther before I stuck my hand in that alligator's mouth. Maybe you tried this one time in college. The ultimate snooze alarm rejection. Or this guy, I just don't know. He's going to wish he had thought that through a little bit harder before this day is over. We have those moments, don't we, when you just think, I didn't see this going that way. But ultimately what happened was we made a foolish choice and we got ourselves into a bad situation. Many of us may feel like we have made decisions that ruined our lives. Maybe you've seen someone else make a series of choices that ended up in what you would call a mess of a life. And we wonder, how did we get there? I think we understand foolishness in retrospect, but not in real time. We don't really see, we're not paying attention to those little decisions that come along the way. God has something to say here today too, so maybe I'll be quiet, let him speak. Sorry. We don't really pay attention to those little moments, the decisions along the way that lead to what ultimately is a breakdown or maybe a crisis in our lives. And so the goal of this series is to help us pay attention to foolishness, to recognize it for what it really is, and to avoid those patterns of behavior that can end in crisis and can end up ruining our lives and often the lives of people that we love and care about, the people close to us. How can we avoid ruining our lives? And I think it starts with paying attention to foolishness. So we're going to be in the book of Proverbs through the summer, looking at the wisdom of Solomon and some other wise guys from the Bible, and seeing what they have to say to us. So Justin did a fantastic job, if you weren't here last week, to hear his sermon on the book of Job. You should go back and catch that online. It was well done. But he also set up for us this concept of wisdom literature in Scripture. And what we learned is that Proverbs is kind of an observational guide to the way that the world works. It's someone saying, hey, listen, I've been around the block a few times, I've seen a thing or two, and this is what I've seen. If you live this way, you can expect this to happen. If you live this way, you can expect this to happen. That's kind of how Proverbs works. Maybe the common idea that we think of is the idea that if you're righteous, you'll be blessed. If you're wicked, you'll be cursed. That sounds like a proverb, doesn't it? It's probably in there somewhere. That seems to be the way we look at Proverbs. But it's observational. It's more descriptive of the way the world works than prescriptive sometimes. It's not really meant to be a checklist of do's and don'ts. If you always do this, this always will happen. Are the righteous always blessed? Are the wicked always cursed? No. That's the way the world is supposed to work, but it doesn't always function that way. I'll give you another example from Proverbs chapter 26. Two verses right here back to back. He says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself." And in the next breath, he says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." What am I supposed to do? I'm lost. If I'm looking at this as a checklist of do's and don'ts, now I'm completely confused because I don't know if I'm supposed to answer a fool according to his folly. I'm not even sure what that means, but I don't know if I'm supposed to do it or not. Well, the idea here is if sometimes when you answer a fool according to his folly, you get kind of sucked into their world and you become a fool yourself. And sometimes when you answer a fool according to his folly, then their eyes are open and they recognize that they're leaning on their own wisdom. So those two things can happen. Now go and use your head. That's kind of the way Proverbs works. It's this observational wisdom. And it reveals to us what wisdom and foolishness can lead to in our lives. I believe that we all long for a certain kind of life, that God put in us this desire to live a life that's characterized by peace and joy and purpose. That we wake up each morning with hope for the day, believing that we have a good work to do. And we lay our head on the pillow each night in peace that God is in control and joy that he has provided for us. Isn't that what we really want in life? That's what we were created for. And Proverbs kind of lays out that the path to that kind of life is called wisdom. But how many of you wake up every morning, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning with this confidence it's going to be a great day, that you have a good work to do? How many of you lay your head on the pillow at night with complete peace about what the future holds and joy in what God has provided? If that's the way we're created to live, why are so few people experiencing that on a daily basis? I think we let foolishness sneak into our habits and patterns of life, and we miss out on the life that God created us for. So that's what we're going to do over the next 8 weeks, is really dive into this. So today we're just going to lay the foundation for how this is supposed to work. What is wisdom? What is foolishness? How do I choose wisdom and avoid foolishness and not ruin my life or anybody else's? So let's start today with Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. This is kind of the preamble, the intro to the book. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Let me just give you a refresher on who Solomon is in case you have forgotten. David was the greatest king Israel had ever seen, the warrior king, the man after God's own heart. Also, in parentheses, adulterer and murderer. We don't talk about that. But great king, God loved him. God chose David's son Solomon to be the next king. And God loved Solomon so much that at one point he comes to Solomon and he says, "Ask me for anything you want, and it's yours." Blank check from God. What would you ask for? Wealth? Power? Fame? Solomon says, "God, just make me wise enough to rule these people well. Just give me wisdom." God liked Solomon's answer so much that he gave him wisdom directly from heaven, and then he also gave him wealth and power and fame. So Solomon is considered the wisest man who ever lived. There are legends of rulers traveling from other parts of the world just to listen to Solomon talk. That's how smart he was. And so if this guy has wisdom from heaven and he has something to say to us, we should probably listen. It's well-timed. I wish I was doing that. I wish I could make... It's just cool. Okay. I'm try not to screw this up. I'm a little intimidated now. Okay. So here's the intro to Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. Let the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. He's kind of laying out that there is this pathway that leads to the life that we all want. He talks about righteousness and justice and equity. Isn't that what we want to see in the world and in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools? That's the pathway of wisdom. And he says, I'm going to lay out for you what that pathway looks like. Some people will choose it and some will not. And he says the foundation of this pathway is the fear of the Lord. The book of Proverbs chapter 9 talks about wisdom being the blueprint by which God created the universe. Wisdom is the way that things are created to work. And so we have this word wisdom that I want us to look at for a moment. The Hebrew word is chokmah. Chokmah. I'm not saying that exactly right. You're supposed to hawk up a little something in the back of your throat when you get to that second syllable. So let's all try that together. If you don't end up spitting on the back of the person's head in front of you, you're doing it wrong, okay? So you ready? Everybody dug down. Are you ready? We'll say chokmah together. Ready? One, two, three. Chokmah. That's pretty good. I heard some good phlegm happening there. That's the Hebrew word for wisdom, and it really just means this is the way the world works. It assumes that there is a best possible future for you that includes peace and joy and purpose, and there is a worst possible future for you, and that's the path of foolishness. Wisdom is applied knowledge. It's taking this blueprint of the way that God created the world to work and using it in real life. And anytime we use that blueprint, it's wisdom. So I have a friend named Mel. She's an artist, and she understands colors and paint and canvas. And when she takes her knowledge of those things and applies them in the world, that's wisdom. But there's also an element of morality that is embedded in biblical wisdom. We can't separate applying the way the world works to real life and ignore the human factor, the way that we interact with other people. So if my artist friend takes her paint and colors and canvas and produces something that dishonors another human being, then it's no longer wisdom, it's now foolishness, right? You see the difference? There is an element of morality embedded in the way that we apply the knowledge and wisdom that comes from God. James, in the New Testament, chapter 3, describes wisdom that comes from heaven this way. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And we think, oh, that sounds pretty good. If everyone were to live that way, it would be a great world that we live in, right? But we watch the news and we read the headlines and we follow people on Twitter and we just go, that's not happening. People are not living that way. Why aren't people choosing wisdom? There's a lot of reasons for that. Often I think that it just sounds boring. I know when I was young, I thought that. I thought my parents might be wise, but they're really boring. And I don't think I want that kind of life. And so I would reject wisdom and choose foolishness just because it sounded more fun. We'll circle back to that. Some of you parents are like, you need to finish that sentence because don't leave us with that. So let's talk about foolishness a little bit. There are several words in the Hebrew that are used for foolishness, but the idea kind of all points to the same principle, which is a two-pronged definition. The first piece of that is the idea that we overestimate the strength of something weak. We overestimate the strength of something weak. This is the very picture of the old cliche, skating on thin ice, right? That's overestimating the strength of something weak. But apparently, the term thin ice is relative. You know, if you ask me, I think it's like 4 inches, that's thin, and then I want it to be thicker than that. If you ask my friend Steve Shields, it's like 1.5 inches, right, Steve? You can get out on that. No way, man, you're crazy. But Steve's still alive and well, so maybe he knows something about ice, I don't know, but that's the picture. It's overestimating the strength of something weak. It's this idea that I can beat the system. Okay, I understand that for most people in the world, wisdom looks like this, but I think I can find a different way. I understand that to really get peace and joy and purpose, I should follow God's plan, but I think I can beat the system. I think I can find a workaround, a shortcut. That's foolishness. The other side of foolishness is underestimating the power of something strong. Underestimating the power of something strong. This is, I just discovered this recently. I guess there are a lot of videos on YouTube. In India, apparently, it's a cool thing for young people to provoke elephants to anger. Now, you and I are just going, that sounds stupid. But this is what they do. They know that elephants don't like loud noises. They don't like people running at them. And so these young people will get on these dirt bikes and they'll run at elephants. And so you see these videos on YouTube of dirt bikes and sometimes humans getting stomped on by elephants because someone underestimated the strength and speed of an elephant. That's just foolish, isn't it? Well, I think often we find these two factors working together, that we are simultaneously overestimating the strength of something and underestimating the power of something else. I remember one time I was working for a church down in Georgia. We were building this big Christmas Bethlehem village, and somehow it was my responsibility to go and buy all the wood and get it to the church. So I borrowed this trailer. I loaded it up at Lowe's, probably a stack of lumber 6 feet high, and I forgot to bring tie downs. So they had some twine available at Lowe's. I thought, this will work. So I wrapped a loop of twine maybe once or twice around this stack of wood, and I thought, I'll be fine. It's a short trip. I'm a good driver. Overestimating the strength of something actually really weak. And underestimating Newton's law of motion that says an object in motion will tend to stay in motion. And the first corner I took, I lost half of that wood. It just slid right off that trailer, and I ended up with tons of wood laying on the side of the road. Right then, one of my friends from church stopped by and started taking pictures instead of helping me pick up wood. So there are pictures of that pile of wood floating around on Facebook somewhere. But I was simultaneously overestimating my driving ability and underestimating the force that all that wood would have when I started to make a turn. I think we do this regularly in our lives. Maybe you at one point took a job that would require you to sacrifice time with your family in order to make more money. And you simultaneously overestimated the value of the paycheck and underestimated the value of your hours with your wife and kids. Maybe that's happened. That's what the Bible would call foolishness. It's foolishness. I know, it doesn't sound, the way that we use the word foolishness is like for silly, immature things. Like little children are foolish, and sometimes teenagers can be foolish. But the way the Bible talks about foolishness, listen to this from Proverbs 1, 32 and 33. For the simple are killed by their turning away. That's not just having a bad day, right? Killed by their turning away. And the complacency of fools destroys them. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Foolishness is destructive. It ruins lives. Whenever we take the things that are valuable to us and we entrust them to something other than God's pathway for joy, peace, and purpose, we are risking ruin. I want to demonstrate this for you. I have this lovely and really weak pane of glass that none of you would put in your home. It's too fragile. It's not a very good piece of wood. Wood? Glass. You know what I mean. And this basket, which represents your life, everything that's important to you. And what we do is no one ruins their life in an instant. It's an accumulation of small choices that seem harmless. You take a little something that's valuable to you. Maybe it's your job. And your job is important, and sometimes it's you know, got to make lemonade out of lemons, but And you put your trust in your ability to provide, and that's going to be what you count on. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's your friendships, and you just think, like, I can handle this. These friends, these are not the kind of people that probably my mom would choose for me, but I can handle this, and we're going to be okay. And we put that in our basket, and we're depending on our own wisdom. And you take something else, like your free time, what you do with your hobbies. And you say, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's my time. It's not hurting anybody else. And we begin to invest that. Maybe the next thing is your calendar. And I use this because I look at my calendar and I just go, that's bananas. You begin to put that on something that really it's our own wisdom. It's pride. It's saying, I've got this. I know how to run my, it's my life. I know how to run my life. I'm sure God's way is good. I'm sure he knows what he's talking about. But I don't really need God to tell me how to live my life. It's my life. And we can get by that way for a while. Maybe you've been getting by that way your whole life. But at some point, you're going to take something that's really valuable to you. And you're going to take one step too far. Maybe it's going to be people that you love. And you're going to say, I've been getting by my whole life just fine by doing things my own way. And so I'm just going to continue to do that. And I'm going to take my family. I'm going to take my faith, my spirituality, my eternity. And I'm going to continue to entrust that in something that has gotten me this far. And that's when crisis happens. It doesn't happen in a moment. Freaked all of you guys out because you just walked in. You don't know what's going on. Come on in. There's plenty of room up front here. All the way to the front there, young man. That's my son. It doesn't happen overnight. It's an accumulation of a small series of choices that most of the time we think, that's not that big a deal. It's not hurting anyone. No harm, no foul, right? But eventually, we take one step too far. We put one valuable piece of our lives too many on our own wisdom, our own way of looking at the world, and crisis comes crashing down on us. Some of you have experienced this crisis. You know what that feels like in real life, maybe because you caused it or someone that you love caused that in your life. And your hope and prayer is that you never have to see that happen again. How do we avoid it? How do we avoid the crash and the crisis? We have to learn to identify foolish behavior in our own lives. Where am I overestimating my own ability? And where am I underestimating the wisdom of God? Many of you may have heard this. What's happened recently with a well-known pastor named Bill Hybels, the lead pastor at Willow Creek Community Church, one of the largest churches in the country. Bill Hybels started this leadership event called the Global Leadership Summit, which many of you have been to. We go to that as a church, we take our leadership there. It's a great event. Bill has contributed greatly to Christian leadership over the last 20 years. 6 weeks ago, he resigned from his role under allegations of misconduct. I'm not here to determine whether Bill is guilty or innocent or who should have done what. I just want to share this quote with you. Bill's been asked about this multiple times, and he keeps saying kind of the same thing. And I want to share with you what he says. I placed myself in situations it would have been far wiser to avoid. I was naive about the dynamics those situations created. I'm sorry for the lack of wisdom on my part. You hear what he's saying? I wasn't wise. I ignored godly wisdom. Now, he's not admitting to anything or denying anything. He's just saying, I ignored godly wisdom, and it has landed him in a preacher's worst nightmare. I'm telling you, it's the worst nightmare that he's in the middle of right now. Accusations coming from 30 years back because he ignored godly wisdom by his own admission. It just built up over time. And you've seen it happen, but we have the hardest time seeing this in ourselves. So we have got to learn to identify foolish behavior in our own lives so that we can replace that with wise choices, with godly wisdom. Can you identify foolish behavior? Do you recognize when you're overestimating the power of something weak? Usually it's our own knowledge and our own ability to really see what's down the road. We overestimate that. We think that we're pretty smart instead of trusting God's way. And we underestimate the power of something strong. of God at work in the life of a follower of Jesus. It is a powerful, powerful force, and we underestimate that. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is wrapping up this just powerful, profound sermon, and he says this: "Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And when the rains came and the storm blew against that house, it stood firm. But whoever hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." You know how this goes? The wise man built. Okay, we'll do that later. Built his house on the sand, and when the rains came and the storms blew against that house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus is saying, sometimes we overestimate the strength of something that's weak, like sand. And you build your whole life on this idea that you know what you're doing. You've got this under control. I don't need God's wisdom. I don't need my parents' wisdom. I can do this myself. You build your whole life on that philosophy. He's saying, maybe it's not the first rainstorm. Maybe it's not the second. But at some point down the line, that sand is going to let you down. Jesus said, if you really want to live the life God created you for, full of peace, just laying your head down each night knowing we're okay, we're fine, we're great. Waking up each morning knowing I've got a good work to do today. God has put something in front of me that matters. If you want the path to that life, you build your house on a rock. The words of Jesus are the rock that we live by. It's your choice. You can choose foolishness, you can choose your own way, or you can choose wisdom. You just need to understand what's down the road for each of those paths. My hope and prayer for myself, for my family, for all of you, is that we would just make the wise choice. That we would make the wise choice. We need to ask this question. We need to build this question into the vocabulary, how we talk to our kids, how we talk to our spouse, how we talk to our coworkers, how we pray our prayers. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise choice? Sometimes the wise choice is not what I want to do right now. Sometimes the wise choice is painful. Sometimes the wise choice requires me to distance myself from certain people that have had an influence over me that's not healthy. Sometimes the wise choice is that I sacrifice something that's valuable to me for someone that is more valuable. Sometimes the wise choice is humiliating. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but always it honors God and it leads me to a life of peace and joy and purpose. What is the wise thing to do? And how do we even know? God has laid out his blueprint of how the world works for us. And if we will put our trust in that, it's like building your house on a rock. There is no storm that can destroy you if your life is built on Jesus Christ. Not one. Nothing can ruin your life when you build your house on the rock. Will you pray with me? God, my prayer this morning is that we would trust that your way is best, that your wisdom is what's really best for all of us, that we would have confidence in the words of Jesus to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God, my prayer is that every person in this room would build his or her house on the rock of Jesus Christ, that we would make him the center of everything, and that you would lead us into lives of peace and joy and purpose through that. Help us to identify foolishness in our behavior and patterns of thought, and to replace those with wisdom so that we can honor you and be a blessing to others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.